number 193. Jesus, my Savior, thou art mine, the Father's gift of love divine. All thou hast done and all thou art are now the portion of my heart. 193. Someone raise the tune, please. I want to talk on the truth. The truth. Jesus, my Savior. Now, we sang that together. Is that true of you? Is He your personal Savior? We didn't sing Jesus the Savior. We sang Jesus, my Savior. We didn't sing Jesus, our Savior, either. But we made it very personal. Jesus, my Savior. Thou art mine. Can you say that really, truthfully? Can you sing that in truth? Is He yours? That's the first question that we have to put to our souls. Jesus, my Savior, thou art mine. Who is He? The Father's gift of love divine. Each line of these hymns brings out this glorious and wonderful truth. The Father's gift of love divine. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. The Father gave His only begotten Son. All that thou hast, all thou hast done, and all thou art, are now the portion of my heart. Tremendous truth we sang. All thou hast done, and all thou art, are now the portion of my heart. If we were in the good of that, we wouldn't see a sour face on any of us. We'd all be happy and rejoicing in this wonderful truth. Poor, feeble, wretched as I am, is that the truth? Is that the way you think of yourself as you examine your own heart and your own ways and your own thoughts and life? Can you truly say that? Poor, feeble, wretched as I am, I now can glory in thy name. In ourselves, we are that. And now we can glory in his name. Now cleansed in thy most precious blood. Did you partake this morning when we remembered the Lord in his death, ate the bread and drank the cup? If you did, and you're not real, you did a lie. Because the Lord's Supper is only for those who are cleansed by the blood and members of the body of Christ. It's only for them. For an exclusive company, those that have made the Savior theirs and come into blessing. Now cleansed in thy most precious blood. Can you say that? Is that true of you? Are you in the conscious enjoyment of that tremendous truth that all your sins, so great, so many, in his blood are washed away and made the righteousness of God? We who were nothing but sin in ourselves, by nature and by practice far, how very far from God, but made now the righteousness of God in him. That's tremendous truth. All that thou hast for me. All that thou hast. We're talking to the Lord. All that he has, thou hast for me. If we are children, we are heirs. Heirs of God. Heirs of God. I like to think of it this way. If we're children, we're heirs. We have two uncles, and one is very rich, and the other one is not very rich at all. And we hear that one has died, and he's left us something. Well, which one was it? Well, it was the rich one, Uncle John. Very rich. Heirs of God, very rich. He owns the universe. How much did he leave me? What am I an heir of? Joint heirs with Christ. Joint heirs with Christ. That's the measure of what our inheritance is. I nothing am. All that thou hast for me. All my fresh springs are hid in thee. In thee I live while I confess. I nothing am, yet all possess. Well, we sang that hymn. Is it true of you? Is it true of each one of us? I want to talk about truth. And I want to read some scriptures that bring before us wonderful truth. Turn to Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40. Verse 8. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Simple statement of scripture. Everything I read from this book that I'm going to read this afternoon is the truth. The word of our God shall stand forever. It will never be proven to be wrong, because thy word is truth. Thy word is truth. Verse 28. Wonderful truth. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the eternal God, the Lord, Jehovah, the creator of the ends of the earth, fadeth not, neither is weary, there's no searching of his understanding. Wonderful truths. We read through these verses so oftentimes without pondering them. Little word in the psalm, Selah, pause and reflect and consider what we're reading. The everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. I could read more, but we'll pass on. Chapter 42. Behold, verse 1, my servant whom I uphold, mine elect in whom my soul delighteth. Now it's God the Father that's speaking here, and he talks about his servant. That's the Son. That's the Lord Jesus. And then he says, I put my spirit upon him. In that one simple verse of the Old Testament, we have the Trinity. God, the Father, saying, behold my servant, that's the Son, and then saying, I've put my spirit upon him. Wonderful truth that we gain from the word of God. Verse 5, thus saith the Lord God, the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out. Science has found out recently that the universe is expanding. Anyone that had his Bible in hand could have told him that. God is stretched out the heavens. It is expanding. All truth that we need is in this book. Verse 8, I am the Lord, That is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. We were mentioning in the readings that all the other gods are false gods. There's only one true God, and he is the living God, and all the others are false and dead, the product of man's imagination. This book reveals the true and living God. Just pick out a few more wonderful statements of truth. Verse 11 of chapter 43, I, even I, am the Lord, Jehovah, all capitals, it means Jehovah, we know that, I believe, and beside me there is no Savior. So we don't have to look elsewhere for a Savior, it must be Him. It must be Jehovah. His name in the Old Testament is Jehovah. His name in the New Testament is Jesus. Acts 4 says there was no other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved but the precious name of Jesus. Here it says, Jehovah says, beside me there is no Savior. They're one and the same glorious person. These are truths that we learn as we read the Word of God. Now, I'm going over truths that 90% of this nation and other nations in the world know nothing about. We take so often for granted these precious gems of truth that are in God's wonderful Word. Verse 15 says, I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Jehovah speaking, their King. Over the cross they wrote, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Yes, Jehovah their King. Zechariah 9 says, behold, thy King cometh unto thee lowly, and riding upon an ass and a colt, the foal of an ass. How could God, Jehovah, ride on an ass? He had to become a man. He had to come down here and be called Jesus when he was born. Yes, you get the truth when you put these passages together. Verse 25 of chapter 43. The Lord says, I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember thy sins. We have a forgiving God. A forgiving God. So many of the deities that have been created by man don't have that attribute or that quality. Verse 6 of chapter 44, thus saith the Lord Jehovah, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. Beside me there's no God. Get a hold of these truths, young people, especially when you are fed the lies of Satan in the universities and schools of the land by people that don't know the Lord and don't believe this book, because this book is the truth and it contains what we need to ward off and fight the lies of Satan. The lies of Satan. Well, I think that's enough to go now to the New Testament, John's Gospel, and chapter 1. Just wanted to touch on a few points, and there are many, many more. But as we read these truths, store them up in your mind and make them part of your belief system. What you believe. What if they would ask you, what do you believe? What is it? We are to hold fast to the faith that was once delivered to the saints. the faith once delivered to the saints is the whole body of revealed truth, and that's what we believe if we are intelligent in the scriptures. John 1 and verse 14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and I'll skip the parentheses, full of grace and truth. And again in verse 17, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. You can't have it anywhere else. It came by Him, and He is the truth Himself. Outside of Him, I'm talking about moral and spiritual truth. I'm not talking about mathematics or history or geography or any of those sciences. I'm talking about moral and spiritual truth. Where did we come from? Why are we here? Where are we going? This book, and only this book, answers those three questions. It tells us where we came from. The science has stabbed at it with their nonsense of evolution, but anyone with an ounce of common sense knows that won't fly. We didn't get here by evolving up from lifeless matter by nothing. No, God, I enjoyed what a brother said. God took inanimate clay from the dust of the ground, and He breathed into it the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And only He, only God, the living God, the true and living God, can do that. Man cannot create life. Only God can do that. And He did it. And He is the life giver Himself. In the fourth chapter, in the third chapter, verse 34, for He whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. He is the one that has the fullness and power of the Holy Spirit. Verse 23 of chapter 4, the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. There's so much worship that's going on in Christendom that is not worship in spirit. It's worship in a material, mechanical contrivance, such as an organ or a piano or an orchestra or whatever it is. Instruments that have no life, that have no spirit and no soul. They can make sweet-sounding music to the human ear, but that's not Christian. Christian worship is worship in spirit and in truth, by the Spirit of God and according to the revelation that He has been pleased to make of Himself in Christ. We need to know what that truth is, to worship spiritually. God is a spirit, verse 24, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. In truth. Now let's turn over to the eighth chapter. To the eighth chapter of John. Verse 29, the blessed Lord is speaking, and He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please Him. A lot of children here. You have a father, mother. Is there anyone here that can say, I do always those things that please my Father? I couldn't say that. None of you can. But there was a man in this scene that could utter these words of truth. The Father hath not left me alone. He was always in that perfect communion with His Father. He says, I do always those things that please Him. Wonderful truth. And it's only true of Him. As He spake these words, many believed on Him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It's only the truth of God that can free you from the thoughts and the opinions and the ideas of men. One of the most worthless and evil things that have developed in this century of ours are the talk shows. I don't know if you know what they are. Everyone expresses their own opinion on the different subjects that are before them. And if the opinions expressed are not formed by the Word of God, they're absolutely worthless and wrong. And you can get positive injury to your soul by listening to that. By listening to that. Because that will put thoughts into your mind which may never have come there except that you heard it. Someone asked me recently, we were talking about some of the errors of Effie Graven back in the 1890s, where he denied that the Lord Jesus was eternal life in his person. And he said to me, what was the thought process that he must have gone through to arrive at that? And I said, well, if I knew, I wouldn't tell you, because that would be putting into your mind something that you should never even consider hearing, because it was a lie. It was wrong. If you know that something is a lie and not the truth of God, don't pursue it. Don't go farther into it, because it will only defile you. Be content with the truth and only the truth itself. And that's what sets us free from the opinions of men. Some of the awful opinions that have been expressed on certain verses of Scripture and the wrong interpretation placed on them in order to support some of the evil theories that have come out in Christendom. Many of you don't know what I'm talking about, but I've looked into some of these things in the measure of detail, and they're very defiling. I know the way I felt when I got through reading some of Mr. Raven's statements. I felt dirty. I felt like I had to take all my clothes off and get in a shower and get a good clean bath because of the evil thoughts that he advanced, denying fundamental truths of the Bible. Sad. Be wise as to that which is good. What is good? The truth. And simple concerning evil. Follow that, and you will avoid many a snare in your life. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Verse 36, he says, if the Son, therefore, he who is the truth in his person, shall make you free, he shall be free indeed. He engages in a conversation